God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
He said, these are they that are sown among thorns. Listen to this. He said, they hear the word. Notice what it says. They hear the word. Then he implies that the word gets in them, because he goes on to say, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things enter in and choke the word. So apparently they heard it and it got down inside. But watch now. Look at all three of these things: deceitfulness of riches, lust for other things, and cares of this world. What's he talking about? What you think about. Because they're fed to you all the time. Now, I realize that we can't walk around in a state of blissful ignorance. But you don't have to listen to KYW 24 hours a day. And definitely don't go to sleep with it on, because your brain, while you're sleeping, is listening. You only use 3% of your brain in conscious things. The other 97% is unconscious. It's listening all the time. Watch, that's why you're driving, right? And you're conscious of driving. You see the car in front of you. You know what you're doing, but your brain is thinking about something else. Your unconscious mind talks to you. It does. That's why when we hear voices, we think it's God. Watch, you ever notice that most of the people who say they hear from God, they've never said anything about correction? Every time they hear from God, it's, God told me he's going to give me a new car. But he didn't tell you how you're going to pay for it. God said he's going to give me a new house. He's going to move me into a new house. But you have a credit score of 475. No, it's not God. It's you. But because our belief of God is that he is always going to do stuff that we want, then it becomes the lust for other things. So God, you must now give me what I lust for. You craft a husband or a wife on paper. I used to do this when I did premarital counseling. I'd have the counselees write down what they wanted in a spouse. And you should see the list. It's like Dorothy wanting Oz. I never got a realistic list. They were always out there. How did they form those opinions? By what they saw and what they heard, and then they just did the opposite. Because you really don't know what you want. So you draw a consensus from what you've heard and what you've seen. And you bring that to God. And we say to God, God, this is what I want. And God says, no, it's not. That's what you see everybody else has, or what everybody else doesn't have. You don't really want that, because you don't know you. All of who you are is what other people have told you. So you bring that to me. Hence, we have Romans 8. We don't know what to pray for as we should. As we should. But the Holy Spirit, I have a desire to help people. That doesn't mean it's a call to the pastorate. Those spiritual gift inventories we give, some people score high on the pastoral scale. That doesn't mean you're to pastor a church. Because the concept of pastoring simply means serving. I'm putting my socks on this morning. The Holy Spirit says the people ought to serve somewhere. Even leaders must serve in order to understand serving. Watch. God wanted to know what we felt. He wanted to identify. So he puts on flesh, becomes Jesus, and now Jesus knows what we go through. God didn't. We have not a high priest which has not felt what we've been through and are going through. No, that's why he can intercede. He can go to the Father and say, I understand that weakness. I know what the flesh can do. How can you lead when you don't serve? You hold a standard over the people. You gotta do this. But if you've never been in a position to serve, these are things that snatch the word from you. See, when you stay in a position that causes you to think that way, you lord over people. You become prideful and arrogant. Y'all need to be here because I said so. But you gotta ride You have somebody picking you up. You have somebody to help you with your children. You even have somebody to walk your dog. The other people in the group, they have to get home, get their children situated, and then find a ride to come. You don't have compassion because you're not going through that. So you form a thought that if they're late, you ain't faithful, $5 fine. Well, you'll find a way to get to work. So you need to find a way to the choir rehearsal. But the responsibilities are not the same. Jesus says these things, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things like power, prestige, ministry greatness. He said they all enter in and they choke the word. The Bible calls them thorns. They choke the word and then the word becomes unfruitful. Two obvious points. Point number one, the word is in you. Point number two, even when the thorns are choking it, it's still in you. He didn't say the word leaves like he said with the one who hears it and has it snatched away. He said it becomes unfruitful. That's why you can stay saved and yet not yield fruit. Because the cares of life in your mind, the imaginations of your mind, they are choking the word. You have no praise, but you're saved. You can be saved and not bear fruit. You can be saved and become so self-righteous that God can never use you because you have this image in your mind of spiritual greatness, in your mind. Now watch, in Mark's gospel, chapter 9, and this verse is very important, this passage, Mark 9, verse 19. He answered him and says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. So the man comes to Jesus and asks for help. Jesus curses the generation. He was not just speaking to the disciple. He's saying, this entire generation is aggravating me because you're not getting it. Now watch what he does. And this is something he's doing for us, not just for the person involved. Follow the train of thought. They brought him unto him. They brought the man, the boy rather, to Jesus. And when Jesus saw the boy, the spirit that was attacking the boy begins to throw him into an epileptic seizure. Then Jesus asks the father, how long ago since this came on him? In other words, how long has he been like this? And the man said, since he was a child. Then he goes into a little bit more history. He said, often it cast him into the fire. Sometimes it throws him in the water. But the purpose is to destroy him. Now listen to this. The father says through exasperation, he has watched his child go through this situation for years. I don't know how old the boy is. He just said a child. In the Greek culture, you're a child from 5 to about 9. And that's why they bar mitzvah you at 12. Because they figure then you become a man. You're no longer a child. So we'll say from 5 to about 9, 10, somewhere in that area. So he says, all this time, my son has been undergoing this epileptic seizure. Now think with me. This man has been watching this for years. Let's just say 5 years, okay? He's been watching his son go through that. What do you think is formed in his mind? Notice what he says. Often it throws him into the, and it throws him into the, for the purpose of, okay, now he's formulated that, right? He's formulated that reality. He brought his son to the disciples because he was so desperate for help that he went to the subordinates. The inability of the subordinates caused him to revert back to what was in his mind, right? So now he's right back in that place of despair because I brought my son to your disciples, people who hang around you, and they couldn't help him. Now watch. So he says to Jesus, if you can do anything, this is not an insult to Jesus. This is this man's reality. For 5 or more years, he's watched his son have epileptic seizures without any deliverance. When he had an opportunity to get help, the people that he brought his son to were incapable of helping. He reverts back to the unconscious, the laziest part of your mind. It does not need any assistance. It just holds on to what's normally there. He immediately slips back into that realm of doubt. I've watched my boy go through this all of his life, and no one can help him. If you can do anything, have mercy on us and help us. Watch what Jesus does. Could Jesus have healed that boy right then? How do you know? Because he's God. Okay. So number one, this man didn't know he was God. If God manifests himself right in front of us in a physical body, he just says, you know what? Those people, they came out today, and I just love them. And he just shows up. And he don't look like the Europeans that you're used to. He comes down with dreadlocks, with Rastafarian music playing, and steel drums, and he got jerk chicken in his hand, and he talked like someone who was born in Kingston. And then he says, come ask me for whatever you want, man. Who in here would come to me for prayer? Now understand, had he known who Jesus was, he wouldn't have taken him to the disciples. They would have come down, can we help you? No, that's all right, I'll wait. Is Jesus coming? Yeah, he'll be here in about 5 minutes. I'll wait. Oh, you got a need? Yes, but I'll wait. See, the power had not yet been released on the assistants. Now, I'm full of the Holy Ghost and anointed. And if God shows up, you won't come to me. The Holy Ghost had not yet been given. They had to move purely by faith. And they were incompetent. And they walked with him physically, literally. We walk with him by spirit. So our faith has to be more than theirs. They had him physically to rely on. He's not with us physically. This man said, but if you can do anything, have mercy on us and help us. Jesus says, watch, if you can believe. Why would he tell this man that? He didn't tell that man that for him. Because that man's belief didn't get the boy delivered. That man didn't say, I got it. Thank you. He didn't have the response of the woman with the issue of blood. If I could touch him, I'll be healed. He didn't have the response of the centurion. Just speak the word. He didn't have the response of the Syrophoenician woman who refused to be moved till she received her petition. This man had no response. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. You know what he does? He gives an argument. He said, I do believe, but help my unbelief.
If you believe, for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number. And if you trust that he'll do what he said he would. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44. At 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.